Once again, welcome to this evening as we celebrate and as we share in preparation for remembering the coming of God in our Christ. Would you join me for our opening prayer, please? Our Father, we long for the simple beauty of Christmas. All of the old familiar melodies, words, and symbols that remind us of the great miracle when you came as a babe lying in a woman's arms. As we yearn for those things, let us yearn even more for your renewed presence among us, even as we celebrate with anticipation the advent of Jesus, your Son. Before such mystery, we kneel and follow so many other pilgrims, shepherds, magi, and countless others in bringing you love and paying you honor. We confess that our love has not always been as sincere and warm as it should have been. We pray that we would receive from you the grace to make our love pure and real. We come with gratitude for every token of your love and for all of the many blessings you have given to us during all the years of our living. We pray that as we give back to you, and as we begin anew this journey of hopeful expectation, that what we do would please you, bring honor to you, and bring us closer to your expectations for us. May the loving kindness of the Advent season and the true spirit of Christmas not only come into our hearts, but may they abide in such a way that our earthly cares and our own festivities this season would not cause your spirit to weep. May the joy and spirit of Christmas remain within and around us now and forever. We offer this prayer and we offer our offerings to you in the name of the Father and of the babe of Bethlehem who came to save us from our sins, Jesus our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you would please take a hymnal and remain seated, but turn to hymn 245, O Come, Emmanuel.
Thank you. As we begin the Christian year, we also celebrate the holy season known as Advent. It is a time when we prepare ourselves for the coming of our Messiah. Advent means coming, and we celebrate these days of Advent in expectation and preparation for the Christ arrival. Through the centuries, Christians have observed a time of waiting and expectation before celebrating the birth of the Savior at Christmas. Advent is also a time for reflection and preparation, though its mood is one of joy. Advent has been enriched by Christian traditions to reflect its distinctive Christian meaning. It proclaims openly and joyfully the revelation of God's love as expressed in Jesus' birth in a humble stable in an unstable world, his sacrificial death on a cross, and his victory over death in his resurrection. It points to the Christian hope of Christ coming again, he who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Advent makes innkeepers out of all of us who were asked to make room for the arrival of the King. Let us begin today in preparing room for him in our hearts, in our lives, and in our homes. On this side of Christmas, about 2,000 years after the event, it is difficult sometimes to feel the deep longing for a Savior which was felt by many of God's people in Old Testament times. It is that deep yearning for God to send one to bring in an everlasting kingdom. Here's something of that longing as I read from the prophecies in Micah. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origins is from of old, from ancient days. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. And this shall be peace. Micah chapter 5.
Thank you. There are many lessons we learn at Christmas. Among many of these, a star in the sky, carols in the evening air, a candle in the window, a wreath on the door, mistletoe hung in the doorway, poinsettias in brilliant color, gifts beneath a lighted tree, friends around a holiday table, families reunited in love, church bells ringing. These are images from modern Christmases. But let us listen to the lessons of years and centuries gone by, and not just to impressions of the moment. Images of the present in the biblical story are often discouraging. War, hate, famine, a Caesar on his throne. Later Christians being persecuted because of belief in love came down to earth. Yet now, after the centuries, Caesar's gone, and some of these early Christians are shining symbols of faith, and Jesus, the truth and the light, reaches out to every nation. Let us, through the great tradition of our faith, join with the shepherds of Bethlehem, the Magi from the east, and all of those seekers throughout the ages to welcome the one who came at Christmas. Let us bring our gifts to him, and may the message of our singing also be glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to all people.
Advent is a time of anticipation, but this is symbolized by both a four-week period of preparation and by the lighting of an Advent candle on each Sunday of the season. The flame of each new candle reminds us, the worshipers, that something exciting is happening and something more is still to come. The candles are arranged in a circle to remind us of the continuous power and love of God, which knows no beginning nor ending. There is also symbolism in the colors of the candles. The three purple candles symbolize the coming of Christ from the royal line of David. He is coming as the King of Kings and Prince of Peace. The pink candle is to be lighted on the third Sunday of Advent and represents joy. The large white candle in the center is known as the Christ candle and points to Jesus as the Christ, the light of the world. It is lit on Christmas Eve. A progression is noted in the lighting of the candles of the Advent wreath each Sunday. Each candle symbolizes various aspects of our waiting experience. They focus on hope, peace, joy, and love. The culmination of the season comes as we light the Christ candle on Christmas Eve, rejoicing that the promise of long ago has been fulfilled. Today, we light the first purple candle, the candle of hope.
The most striking and universal feature of Christmas is the use of evergreens in churches and our homes. Among ancient Romans, evergreens were an emblem of peace, joy, and victory. Early Christians placed them in their windows to indicate that Christ had entered the home. Holly and ivy, along with pine and fir, are called evergreens because they never change color. They are ever green, ever alive, even in the midst of winter. While other trees are barren and asleep, the evergreen shows life. Little wonder that Christians took this as a symbol of the unending life which is ours when we receive the Christ as Savior and Lord. For centuries, Christians have used evergreens as Yuletide decorations to homes and churches. We tie festive bows on the greens to enhance their beauty and our joy in the season. We have wreaths and garlands of evergreen waiting to be put into place. Under Christian thought and sentiment, holly became widely used in church celebrations. It was considered as the burning bush or a symbol of Mary who glowed with the Holy Spirit. The red berries represented the blood drops of Jesus brought on by the cruel crown of thorns he was forced to wear. In Isaiah 60:13, we read, "The glory of Lebanon shall come unto you, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the bough together, to beautify the place of your sanctuary." Our forefathers called the procuring of these evergreens bringing home Christmas. At this time, we will experience the joy of hanging the greens for Christmas. As they are hung, let us remember the forever life which is ours in Christ Jesus, life that guides us even through all of our winter days.
Christmas tree is the center of many festivities. Glittering with lights and ornaments, it is a part of the beauty and meaning of our Christmas celebrations. One of the legends about the use of the Christmas tree was from medieval German paradise plays. These were held outdoors and portrayed the creation of humans. The tree of life was a fir tree decorated with apples. Later, other items were hung on the trees, such as paper flowers and gilded nuts. In England, branches or whole trees were used indoors for Christmas. The first lighted tree was most likely used in Germany by Martin Luther. The story is told that he was wandering outside one Christmas Eve and was captivated by the beauty of the stars in the sky and the moonlight on the fir trees. He began to reflect on the glory of the first Christmas Eve in Bethlehem, and wishing to share this with his wife and children, he cut an evergreen from the forest, glistening with snow, and took it home. He placed candles upon it to represent the glorious heavens he had seen. The use of a candle-lighted tree spread over Europe, and Americans came to regard it as a central ornament of Christmas. Our trees are somewhat different, though. They are called chrismon trees, because in addition to lights and ornaments, they will be covered with chrismons. Chrismon comes from two words, Christ and monogram. They are shapes which remind us of Christ and what he has done for us. Some of the chrismons are an ichthus, or fish, which stands for Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. Crosses, doves of peace, representing the Holy Spirit, and interlocking circles, representing the Trinity. Enjoy our celebration as our children bring chrismons to place on the trees as the trees are lighted.
Everyone loves the brilliant red poinsettias we enjoy at Christmas. Like the evergreens, they have been adopted as Christmas decorations because they bloom well in winter when our garden flowers are dormant. Of course, we have to grow them in greenhouses in most of North America, but they grow wild in Mexico and other countries of the Southern Hemisphere. That reminds us that people of every land celebrate Christmas. For some, it's just a time of family celebration and giving gifts. But those who know Jesus Christ join together as brothers and sisters in the Lord. At Christmas, we realize that we are part of a much larger family of faith, the family of God, the church universal. The Mexican tradition goes like this. The Bethlehem star shone over the manger where Jesus was born. Its light was so bright that the earth responded, reflecting the star's light, receiving it, and mirroring the light with a beautiful flower, star-shaped with pure white petals and golden star in the center. It grew on earth to commemorate that holy night, but then came the tragic day of Jesus' crucifixion. And the blossoms change to blood red petals with star centers, reminding us of a holy night and pointing us to Good Friday. And our family of faith not only reaches around the world, but it reaches back into history as we remember all of the millions who have believed. We hear this in the song Mary sang as she carried her precious baby, anticipating his birth. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation." So enjoy the lovely poinsettias now as they are brought and placed in front of our sanctuary.
The music of Christmas includes many different types, from instrumental to sacred oratorios to simple caroling. The actual origin of caroling as a part of the Christmas celebration is really unknown. Many different countries have claimed to be the birthplace of the custom. From the first, though, music of some kind was a part of the church festivals in honor of the birth of Jesus. We know that caroling existed in Germany in the 15th century because Martin Luther wrote that when Christmas was celebrated, he went with others from house to house and from village to village singing popular Christmas carols. We could safely assume that caroling was first done by the chorus of angels who visited shepherds on the first Christmas night and who said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to all people." Let us add our voices in that tradition as we stand and sing together, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing."
The bells of Christmas. What sounds, what wonderful sounds they do produce. Christmas joy naturally overflows into music of all kinds. About the 4th century, bells first pealed forth in glad song at Christmas. Of all our Christmas symbols, the bells have experienced the fewest changes. Church bells, which have cheered the hearts of people throughout the ages, are said to have been originated by Bishop Paulinus of Nola in Campania, Italy. And he died in AD 431. Now, from these two names has come the Latin word for bell. Now, medieval people had a tender feeling toward the ringing of bells. They often held special dedications with prayers for the bells. Historical bells that have rung out the glad news of Christmas include the Emperor Bell in Moscow, the Great Bell of China in Beijing, Big Ten in London, and the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. Yet it is church bells, large and small, in every community around the world that have found their way into each of our hearts. Listen and enjoy the peal of the bells in our celebration.
Long before the celebration of Christmas, candles were used to signify Christ as the light of the world. In medieval times, there was a legend that on Christmas Eve, the Christ child wandered throughout the world looking for a place where he would be welcomed. Those who loved him, hoping that he might find their homes, placed lighted candles in the window to invite him inside. No one knew for sure how he might appear, perhaps in ragged clothes, as a beggar, or as a poor and lonely child. He might come in the form of a crippled person roaming the streets or the lonely countryside. It became customary for devout Christians to welcome into their homes anyone who knocked at their doors on Christmas Eve. If you did not, you might turn away the Christ child in unfamiliar form, just like the innkeeper on the first Christmas night. During the Advent season, we remember that the Christ is wandering along our streets, looking for homes where he will find warmth and shelter. The candles in the windows of our church and our homes symbolize that Christ is our welcome guest. Here is a place where there is room in our hearts for him. As the candles are lit in our windows, we can recommit ourselves to sharing the true light with those around us during this Christmas season.
Most heartwarming expression of Christmas is the Nativity. The Nativity speaks of the mystery of God's wisdom and love. Why God chose to send His Son into our world as a baby of humble birth, born in common surroundings. We do not know, other than mysterious love. We know that God reached out to all people including the poor and the wealthy, the simple and the wise, the powerless and the powerful. All who found him knelt in humility before him, knowing God is possible then only because he came to us at our level in a baby. And so I would like to invite all the children present, if you would please come and join me at the front. Come and have a seat here on the pew. Or in the floor. Okay. Now, whenever we see the Nativity, we find ourselves looking at a tired and ordinary couple, Mary and Joseph, with the shepherds, and we often go ahead and have our magi, our kings here, even though they come later on. We bow before that manger, overwhelmed by God's expression of love in coming to us as a child. And so I would like to ask, if you all would you please stand and turn around and with me, let's sing, as children of God, the first verse of Away in the Manger to everybody, okay? And if y'all want to join in, that's okay, but I want us to sing together, okay?
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
Thank y'all. Sit back down for a moment. Thank you for sharing in that time. Now, from the beginning of Christmas celebrations, gift giving has also been a part of the season. In fact, for a lot of folks these days, it's getting gifts that is so important, not so much giving. But you know, way back then, the Magi, the wise men, gave out their treasures. The shepherds came and they gave of their flocks, of sheep and of themselves. But the gift of God in giving Jesus as our Savior is the first and greatest of all the Christmas gifts. It's greater than anything you could ever get in a store or from anyone else on earth. Like those shepherds, like those wise men, many have tried to give back to others during Christmas and try to give back to Jesus by giving to other people. One of those who gave a long time ago was Saint Nicholas. There really is a Saint Nicholas. Way, way back, a Saint Nicholas. He was the bishop of Myra in Lycia in the 4th century. The story is he was very wealthy, had a lot of money, and his emblem was 3 purses and 3 golden balls, a symbol of wealth and status in Italy, and a symbol that might be familiar to some of us here in this room. The bishop would give money in secret to those whom he found in need. He was very interested in children and in young people and making sure that they had the things that they needed, often giving money to needy boys and to needy young girls who had no dowry. That means they couldn't give money to get married, which in those days would affect whether a girl could get married or not. Gifts oftentimes arrived for other children and other young people from unknown sources, and they were often attributed to Saint Nicholas. Did you know that, Aiden? Saint Nicholas did, yeah. Now, you might wonder how people knew of that generosity. And maybe somebody in here could tell me the story. But I'll tell you that story. Supposedly, there was a man that had three daughters. Now, back then, they didn't have proms. But they had weddings. And it cost a lot of money. He had three daughters and he had no money for them or for their weddings. And on two nights in a row, a bag of gold coins, plop, fell down the chimney with the two oldest daughters' names on them. The man decided he was going to wait up on the next night to see who was leaving the gifts. And sure enough, another bag of gold coins, plop, landed at the bottom of the chimney. And guess what? He saw St. Nicholas drop that bag of money right down the chimney. And so the name of St. Nicholas became associated with unselfish giving, especially at Christmas time. But you know, the greatest gift of Christmas, as we said a while ago, is the gift of God in Jesus. All that we do during this season points to that expression of His love. Christ came as a baby in Bethlehem. He was God's Christmas gift. And it is through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that that gift goes on. By the way, Aiden, guess what? Come here, I want to show you something. No, come up with me. Take my hand. If you look up here, there's no manger, is there? No. And if you come over here and look in our manger, come up here on the step. It's empty. Huh. It's empty. We wait for the arrival of the baby Jesus. And you know something? I'll bet if you come here on Christmas Eve, I'll bet if any of you come here on Christmas Eve for our Christmas Eve communion service, guess what? I'm certain that you'll find the baby Jesus both in this manger scene and lying in that manger over there. On Christmas Eve, the baby Jesus will be lying there. But more importantly, I hope that you'll find Him somewhere in your heart. And so as we await the celebrations for Christmas Day, may we continue our watch just as the shepherds did so long ago. And if you would, please join me as we stand, turning to Congregational Carol number 272, and sing together the first two verses of While Shepherds Watched Their Flocks. Celebrate once again that joy very, very soon, that good news. I do want to thank everyone who has shared in tonight, but also everyone who decorated our sanctuary over the last week to make it beautiful and shiny, but not so much beautiful and shiny for the outside, but for the inside. Thank you for coming and for sharing with us tonight. And if you would, please, may we read together our benediction that you will find printed in your bulletin. And this will be our closing benediction. O God, you have caused this world to shine with the illumination of the true light. You have given us your only begotten Son to take our nature upon Him and to show us your glory and grace. As you have given this gift in love, may we receive it with joy, and may we reflect your light to a darkened world. As we have decorated this place of worship, may we also live lives of worship, decorated with God's forever things, forever love, forever life, forever living, forever growing, forever green. In the name of God's love and light, Jesus, amen.